It's a 6. Woo! Okay. Oh man, is that amazing. Great job there, Yukim. Okay, so that is a hit. Not necessarily a hit with a raise, but the good thing is that plasma grenades do 3d12 damage. No armor piercing, but oh, here's hoping, right? All right, so Tolva, we need to figure this out real quick. D6, so that in half is 4, so his toughness is 6. No, I'm sorry. Toughness is 5, plus the armor, it's 10. So his toughness is 19 with 9 armor. So Hakeem needs to beat a 19 on 3d12. Okay. 12. Oh, and it explodes. Oh, and it explodes again. Okay, let's think about that. 24, 26, plus 11. That is a hit with 2 raises. Oh, shit. Okay, so as he lines up like a practice Olympian, our friend Hakeem leaps out from behind the tree. He presses the little glowing button on top of this cylindrical, almost just slightly larger than a cigar. It's like a cigar case shaped device. Begins to beep almost immediately, and he runs forward a couple steps. We hear the click as somebody attempts to take a shot, but Yakim's arm is just a little too fast. He feels that burning juice in his veins, that high above highs that he gets in the middle of combat. This grenade goes arcing. It goes high, higher. And suddenly we see the plastic and ceramic face of this almost skull-like figure as this armor comes screeching in, its wings wide. He's going to get one chance here as he... No, actually, he used all of his bennies, didn't he? The grenade comes in and we get an inside shot inside the helmet. This elongated snout, these snarling teeth, a heavy scar that kind of burns the lips upwards as Tolva the Bandit sees this thing as it detonates. It becomes implosive. The plasma grenade pulls itself in before the shattering of the ceramic cuts into his face. Tolva barely has enough time to open his mouth and screech before the explosion rips through the suit of armor, and the falling body of it comes screeching into the ground. Grolla looks up and snarls as she sees the heavy wings of this power armor destroyed and ruined as it slams into the earth, leaving a streaked crater and just green smoke pluming out where the plasma continues to burn against the ceramics. Oh, that's huge. Oh, man, that's huge. So Tolva is not going to get a turn anymore. We will give him a vigor check to see if there's even a chance he survived, but with that much damage, I kind of doubt it. Whew. Okay. But now, of course, coming off of hold, you're going to see... we're going to ask a question here. We're going to ask the question, and I'm going to give it to the fate instead of specifically to the rules within Savage Worlds. Does Grolla get her shot off before Hakeem gets back to cover? And I'm going to give this 50-50. It's a 20. There is the click. And laser, of course, has no travel time. There's no drop-off. So she takes her shot. Now, he has quick, which means it's a -2 because he's not behind cover. He can't use that while he's in cover because he can't dodge the shots. But his instincts kick in, and as the blood pumps through his veins, that is a 7 to hit. She still hits. The shot comes through. Its aim is pretty true, and as his own gun shoots him, 46 damage. Let's see, that is 5, 11, one die explodes, 12. It's not enough to get through his armor. He turns and pivots, pirouettes like a ballerina, and another small streak just burns in just next to one of his arm plates. He ducks back behind the trees, and he's panting. He's like, oh, what? Jean-Francois, did you see that? Oh, I got him. I got the fucker. All right, we're going to have to go get his gun, see if there's anything of value over there. Otherwise, we need to go loot some of those bodies because I need a gun too. And Jean-Francois is kind of holding the rifle out, and he's like, you don't want this back? He's like, no, you're doing great. It's like, I do not enjoy this at all. Okay. I'll keep them down. All right, so that started off as Tolva's on the ace. However, both, let's see, Yakim is on the nine, or on the queen. He's no longer on hold. I'm going to see, he is going to take his pace die of a eight. And he's going to try to run to grab a rifle of his own. It's a one. He doesn't make it in time, but he stays behind enough cover. Comes around the corner, but he does still have one more grenade. So even though he just ran, he is going to throw the last one. It's a D8, minus two here. These creatures aren't quick or anything, but specifically because he used his pace die, even though it was a shitty one, he still gets to take a negative two to this without multi-action. It is a five and a three. I'm going to throw a burn die into this. All he needs is a two. Oh no, Yakim, what are you doing, buddy? Yeah, his burn die goes down again. He now has four burn left. This is less than optimal. But that counts as a six, so that is going to be a hit with a raise on this. He throws this grenade, 3d12 plus a d6. It's going to land amongst the three jackals that are off to the side. Oh, damn. So 12, 15, 21, 25, 26. Let's see here. What is the blast radius on this? Is it a small, large? What? Grenades. My kingdom for a grenade. Small blast template. So let's see, small blast template, I believe, is large enough to capture all three. No, it's going to capture two. Two of them, though, just become almost skeletonized in a second. The explosion rips through them just behind, and what remains of their forms drops. The weapons themselves obviously ruined and destroyed. Their armor, though, just burning away, singeing as the plasma just eats into it. They don't even have time to scream before the last one just turns. Sees this explosion rip through his friends. There are only two of these grunts left, both in separate groups. And Grolla. Keem goes, okay, we have a chance. If they don't turn and run, I'm going to go left, you go right. Jean-Francois goes, no, fuck that, I'm staying with you. It's like, just trust me on this, I'll get their attention, I will take shots. You, instead of like spraying and praying like you have been, just take individual shots, go for the head, see if you can bring them down. He goes, you think I can aim? Shit, okay. All right, so let's see, that is his turn. We now go, he's going to D6. No, there is nothing left of poor Tolva. Even as the fire continues to etch into his bones, he is long gone and no longer part of this world. We go over to the two remaining grunts here. I'm going to give them a spirit check to see if they turn and run. Six blows up. They do not. But the first one's going to take his shots. Negative eight. None of them explode, so of course he's not going to hit. Another one, negative ten, negative eight. One explodes, but it's not enough. The shots, but they begin to fall back, to come back around Grolla, stepping backwards, spraying these bullets into these woods that they are now all part of. We go, let's see, Grolla's turn is first. Now we're going to go to the grunts, so we're going to deal the next round of initiative. That is a nine for Yakim, the seven for Jean-Francois, the ace again for Grolla, and now the eight for the grunts. So, Grolla, she is going to take cover too. Ducking down, she takes a moment. And you just hear her go, Tolva,
Tolva, come in if you can hear me. If you cannot hear me, then I'll assume that you're dead. I hope your spirit flies to our home.
And as she ducks down, she leans out around the corner. She's going to take a shot. So this is her D10. -8 because of the cover. The 6 explodes. Both are 8s, but those become 0s with the cover. But the shot burns into one of the tree trunks. Not too terribly far, and there's the thick smell of sulfur and burnt wood in the air. We go now over to Yakim. We're going to give him his paste die. That's enough. He gets over, grabs one of the rifles, and from a kind of like a kneeling position, turns and fires. And he's going to use this as an opportunity to also jump back behind cover afterwards. His shooting is a D8. And where's my other D8? Rate of fire 3. And his wild die. 1d8 explodes. So that's a hit with a raise. And a 6. So yeah, those are going to hit. One with the raise. That's 7. 8. That's not enough to damage. Ricochets off, actually. 8. That's an 11. That's not, still not enough. Ricochets off some of the armor's creatures retreating. The other one. Oh, 3 1s on damage. That sucks. Yakim kind of looks down and realizes that this particular weapon is pretty badly damaged and just goes, fuck, I should have kept the other one. Turns back around. Now it is the troops. Let's see. Rate of fire 3. They fire downwind. The first one against Yakim, -8. It's a 10 total. It's a 2. That doesn't hit. The other one firing against Jean-Francois. That one explodes. Oh. That's a hit with a raise. Let's see. Jean-Francois. One of the bullets comes kind of bounding around with enough impact. It slams into him. His toughness is 12. That is a 1 and a 1 and a 5. Woo! It impacts and it knocks him backwards. Yakim kind of turns. Jean-Francois! And he goes, I'm okay. I'm okay. It hit the armor. I'm okay. Whew, I hate this. Yakim goes, you get used to it. All right. Let's see. 8. Now we go to Jean-Francois. He said, aim for the head. Take one shot. So he is going to... So this is at a -8.2 because these are hiding. And a -4 because he's trying to aim for their heads. This is a -12 total. And he's not a wild card. So, nope. Not even close. The shot impacts against a tree just behind the one that the creature's hiding behind. And Jean-Francois goes, I don't think this is working. We go now. Let's see, next round of initiative. A jack for our juicer. 10 for Jean-Francois. Oh no, a joker for Krolla and the queen for the troops. Okay. She is going to immediately go on hold. Dangerous creature hasn't taken a single wound yet. She goes on hold. She's going to wait for Yakim's turn. Her troops spraying -8s. Nope. First one's miss. Second one's miss. They both go to reload with I thought it would come to magazines, spare magazines, clipped to their chests. You can hear the heavy steel just clattering against itself as they are racking new rounds into the firing chamber. Okay, so we go over to Yakim. He bends out around the corner. He's going to take his shots. Well, actually, we are now in a heads-up situation. It is going to be a D12 and this D6 versus a D10 and her D6 to see who goes first, Grola or Yakim. Okay. Nope. So Yakim's got a 7 and she has a 4. So Yakim gets to take his turn first. And even with the +2, though, it did kind of count there. That was a 6 versus a 7. Yakim leans out around the corner to take his shots. He's trying to take out. Actually, he's going to start aiming for Krolla. She's got a -8 to hit as she's taking cover. None of those explode. The bullets, of course, start impacting into the heavy wood around. He tries to cluster them into two center mass and one towards the head, but it's just enough that she knows now where he's firing from. He ducks back around the corner. She leans out, and she tries to take her shot against him. Also -8, 7 and a 3. That smell, it's just beginning to pervade through here of almost like the beginnings of a forest fire. Dry crackling as the laser just begins burning more and more little potholes into the trees around. Thing I forgot is to give her another Benny. We go now to the Gruntsmiths, and it's now Jean-Francois who's going to take... He's going to try to take his shot. Oh, that explodes. Nah, but it's not enough. With the 7, you know, the -8 for the cupboards, even with the additional aid, he kind of takes a shot upwards, aiming for the head, but it still just shatters against some of the wood, causing the creature to duck down a little bit. We'll go right back into shuffling mode because we just pulled the Joker. Pull this one back in. Even numbers out pretty well there. A 7 for Yakim, a 9 for Jean-Francois, a 2 for Grola, and a 10 for the Grunts. So the Grunts go first. No raises there, and no raises there. So as they start firing back semi-blindly, there's a little bit of almost a panic in their shots. Jean-Francois takes... Explodes. It's a 10. What did I say? It's a -12 total. No, it's not enough. He returns fire, and it's just bullets flying at each other, slamming, impacting, deflecting off into the far tree line. As Yakim comes around, as he does have next shot, he takes his 3 shots. He knows who this is really against. It's him versus Grola. None of those impact. The heavy rounds clacking, making heavy noises that just seem to fill the air. Grola turns back, and she's going to try to take her shots. It's a 9, -1, but you know what? She's got a Benny. She spends a Benny. It's not enough. Yeah. Go to another round as ammunition is just being wasted in this exchange. A 10 for Yakim, 6 for Jean-Francois, the Queen for Grola, and the 9 for the Grunts. Grola's going to go on hold and see if she can line up and wait. Jean-Francois, he is going to lean out around the corner, and now let's see another heads-up roll to see who might be just a little bit faster. Oh, that is so friggin' close. They both rolled 5 on their wild dies. Yakim rolled an 11 on his agility, and Grola rolled a 10 on hers. Technically, this explodes. She gets her shot. She rolled a 14 on her agility check, and he only rolled an 11. That sucks for Yakim. Let's see. He'll take her shot as he steps out around, so there's only a -2. Because of his quick hit, or because of his dodge edge. A 3 and a 4. Oh, she thinks this is only the real chance that she's got to take care of him, so this is going to be her Benny. That's what she was hoping for. That's a 9 on the hit. So reduced down to a 7. It is 4d6 on this laser shot. So that is 12. Plus 4 is 16. 17, 18, 24, 26. Oof. Oof, 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 oof. Okay, he doesn't have any bennies left. So That is two wounds. He takes an unfortunate stumble, and suddenly the shot ring, or it doesn't ring out. He just looks down, and there's now a hole in his stomach. He could smell that burning scent of flesh, and it makes him a little sick to his stomach until he realizes that's what it is. He just took a laser shot directly to the gut. Ugh. All right, so that is her turn. She gets back behind cover. Fuck. All right, Yakim. It's going to change his turn a little bit. He's going to... He knows he's got to end this. He's got to end this quickly. He can't keep this up. He is going to... Oof. This is his last inhibitor, or his last healing roll for this. After this, he's got to wait 8 hours. So it's a D8 and a D6. It's -2 because of the wounds, +2 because of the way that the biocomp works. So this is a straight roll, and he needs to roll with a raise to get rid of both wounds. The 6 explodes to an 8. The wound begins to stitch itself up fairly quickly. He coughs a little blood before the nanites begin to just swarm, but then he hears this faint boop, 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 to let him know that the biocomp is completely spent. But that's not going to stop him from still taking his shots. These are now a multi-action penalty. So, -2 plus the cover. So that's -8 for the cover. So it's a -10 total. Nothing explodes. He ducks back behind the cover, the hole in his armor pissing him off. Fuck, I can't keep doing this. All right, John Francois, just start taking him out. We're gonna have to flank her, get her to run away. John Francois goes, okay, I still do not know what I'm doing here. First spray of bullets, none of them hit. Second spray of bullets. As the jackals continue to retreat back to their headhunter queen, bullets flying out. And then, let's see, John Francois leans around his corner. And he's going to rate a fire 3 against one of them. None of them explode. So, bullets continue launching back and forth. Yakim is now upset. He draws a 2, but he gets to draw another one. He gets the king. Excellent. The 2 for Jean Francois, the 2 for Grola, and the ace for the grunts. Well, these things aren't particularly scary, but they're going to take their shots, and those explode, and none of those explode. Okay, we go directly over to Yakim, who is going to go on hold and try to wait her out, as they are now in kind of this weird back and forth game. Stops, leans out just barely enough to see around the corner, looks for a sign of motion, and just waits. Let's see, so we've got the 2 of clubs and the 2 of diamonds. The diamonds goes first. She's actually going to try to aim. She had some good luck with that last shot. Or actually, she's going to go on hold. That's what's going to happen. She knows that this is a heads-up game between the 2 of them. And that really, at this point, Jean-Francois and the rest of the bandits are just pawns in their little fight. Jean-Francois doesn't know this, and he opens up fire. None of those explode, so we're going to the next round of combat. The 8 for Yakim, the 6 for Jean-Francois, the 9 for Grola, and the 3 for the grunts. Okay. So she's going to remain on hold as she just tries to wait this out. Yakim is going to do the same. Just slowly watching. Jean-Francois turns, fires. Nothing explodes. And then the grunts return fire. Nothing explodes from the first one. And two explode. That's a 9 total, but that's not enough. The shots continue echoing, just enough to keep everybody's heads down. 4 for Yakim, which draws into a 3, which still doesn't help him. Another 4, he keeps drawing. A 7 for Yakim. The ace for Jean-Francois, the 3 for Krola, and an 8 for the mooks. All right. The bullets continue to fly. Jean-Francois, though, this is the last shot in his magazine. But one of them explodes. And explodes again. Ooh, you killer. I love it. All right, so it's a hit with a raise against one of the mooks. That explodes. Okay. If Jean-Francois doesn't become a runaway target here, he may end up, you know, becoming a wild card pretty soon. That was pretty killer. He lets out 3 more shots. The creature looks around as he hears the impact of the firing pin, and then suddenly one of them catches him dead in the forehead. The creature just drops where he is, gut clattering into the forest floor. And Sean goes, well, I think I got another one, I can't tell. Yakim's like, fine, shut up, man. Yeah, okay, I thought you'd be happy for me. I am, just shut up. All right, so let's see, that was Jean-Francois. The grunts, there's now only one left. He's gonna take his shots. None of them with an explosion, so of course none of them hit. But we're now in that heads up battle between Yakim and Krola. They both now have 1 sidekick each. They are waiting each other out, seeing which one's gonna break, which one's gonna make a mistake first. Slow, arduous, punctuated by just staccato bursts of gunfire. That is a jack for Yakim, a 7 for Jean-Francois, a jack for Krola, and the joker for the last remaining grunt. So, this side gets a Benny, which means, of course, she now has a Benny. So he gets to go first. He starts off on hold. He's actually going to stay on hold for a second. It's the jack of clubs versus jack of spades, which means Krola gets to go first. Let's see. I think she's going to turn to her compatriot. I'm going to shoot at him. As soon as I poke my head up, he's going to shoot at me. I want you to shoot at him then. And the jackal, its ears twitch behind its face guard. And just goes, yes, mom. All right, so here's how this is going to happen. This is going to be another agility check to see who comes off of hold first. It is going to be Krola and her D10, Yakim and his D12, and the grunt with his D6 plus 2. This is a lot of dice. Okay. So, we get a critical failure on Grola's turn. Now, I think what this might be, there may be a reason that the gun backfires. Not even backfires, right? Not like something that's going to damage her, but she goes to fire, and maybe the E-clip is actually empty and she wasn't paying attention to the shots. Yakim, of course, knows how many shots are exactly in that thing. So he has an 8 on his agility. The grunt has a 5 on his agility, but plus 2, it's a 7 because of the Joker. But Krola has snake eyes. So Yakim gets to go first. He sees her poke her head up. He sees his gun come up. And knowing exactly how many shots are in that, he just lifts, fires. Oh, shit. One explodes. So that is 1 hit with a raise and 1 hit. He starts shooting down range. 3d6 plus 1 for this first one with a raise against Krola. Alright, that is 9, 10, 11, 12. It's not enough to get past her armor. The bullets begin impacting all around. She tries to duck down again quickly when he takes his next shot. Nice. But that's not enough. The shots start ringing out. They slam into Krola. She ducks down behind the barricade that they've set up. Her gun, of course, does not manage to fire, so she's going to waste her turn on that. But her compatriot takes his shots. However, it's not before Yakim gets back into cover because he didn't win the agility check. But none of them actually hit. So the gunfire rains back and forth. We're going to go now to Jean-Francois, who's going to take his shots. He's going to take them against the last grunt. Negative eights. That's cocked. But none of those shots impact. Surprising round where, again, this is why sometimes extras, though, they can change the course of the game. Exploding damage, exploding shots, pulling the Joker and being able to kind of switch the sides and the aggression real quickly. That's critical. All right. We're still in this wild card versus wild card, one-on-one with their kind of sidekicks here. You know, it's now becoming a little bit more of like a sniper battle, a battle of wits, than it's becoming any real combat. These two are trying to hole up because they know what happens next. Here we go. That is the six for Yakim, the king for Jean-Francois, the five for Grola, and the ace for the Mook. The Mook. One explosion? That's not enough. Jean-Francois, no explosions, obviously not enough. But then our two kind of gladiators go back on hold. All right, next round. Yakim with the ace, the seven, the three, and the six. Okay, staying on hold. Yakim's just waiting for an opportunity. Jean-Francois takes a shot, trying to see if he can get this last one down. Ooh, one explosion. Ooh. Ooh, nice. So that's at least a hit. 2d6 plus one. Oh, they both explode. Boom. Jean-Francois, I should start keeping track of these things, huh? And Yakim goes, don't. It's kind of douchey, man. He goes, I got it, though. This is easy, actually. And Yakim goes, no, it's really not. I need you not to enjoy this right now, okay? He goes, no, it's in the bag. So, gladiators now. Let's see. We're going to stop dealing the Mook in. As Grola turns, there is no one remaining from her group. She's a little upset. Let's actually ask a fake question. I think it's unlikely, given what we rolled about her before, artistic and aggressive. Let's see, increased defense and deception and weapons. So I'm going to give her a unlikely that she is going to turn tail and run as the rest of her crew has now died. So, but before I do that, I'm going to step away for just one second. All right. So, as I was saying, I think it's unlikely that we're going to see Grola turn tail and run here. Chaos factor of 5, this means we have a 35 or lower that she turns and runs. Oh, shit. 29. Yeah. Grola, seeing her entire group, including one of her most powerful fighters, brought low by these two humans. How dare they? She'll get her revenge. So she turns, but she's going to have to break cover. So as she turns, she, let's see, does she have? No. We're going to give next round of initiative. She turns and attempts to flee. We're going to give her a stealth check on her turn. But first, an ace, an eight, and the queen. Okay. Yeah. So Yakim, seeing her getting ready, he's going to go on hold, of course, waiting for her to make her turn. As soon as she breaks cover, he's going to open fire with everything he's got. She is going to try to see if she can sneak away. Her stealth, though, is D6. On her turn, let's see. We're going to go her agility, which is a D10 versus Akeem's. So, it's cocked. She rolled a 5 and he rolled a 4. So she gets up and she attempts to try to slink away. A 2 and a 1, though. It's not a successful stealth. He still sees her. So on her turn, she gets to make her full movement. But he's still going to fire. Now, let's see here. Where are my D8s again? Oh, no way. That is 3 hits and 1 with a raise. He gets up. I'm going to say Akeem stands up from his firing position, hidden behind a small tree, sees her running, and then jumps over it. And begins firing at her, screaming. We're going to get this first shot with a raise. 3d6 plus 1. Oh, nice. Okay, so that's 2. Let's see, it's 10, 16, 17, 22. Okay, so she stumbles as that first one hits her in the back, and she is now shaken. His second shot rings through. Nice. Okay, it's 11. 17. 21. Oof. The second one actually hits her in the back. She is now shaken and wounded. She stumbles forward as a spray of blood comes out. He takes a second shot. Nah, it's not nearly enough. But those two, and he just begins running forward. He's just screaming as he's unloading shot after shot into her. The clip, or the magazine eventually goes tick, as it is completely empty. And while he's running, he picks up one from her fallen compatriots and begins reloading. We now go over to Jean-Francois. He sees that this shit's happening. He goes, oh, shit! And he runs out from behind cover, firing as well. So this would be -2. Oh, one of them explodes. So that's a hit, no raise. 9, that's not enough. And he fires. They start bouncing off of her heavy armor. She turns. Now she's beginning to bleed. And of course, she had spent all of her bennies, so she can't start soaking these wounds.